Okay, so we would like to try and finish the end of the Omud. It's not a difficult piece of Gemara. And then Be'ez Hashem we'll do Chazora of the last Omud and a half before we can begin on the last Daf, Be'ez Hashem of the Perek. The Gemara mentioned Tana Rabbanon on the fifth last medium width line. Tana Rabbanon. Shisha dvarim gnai loy le Talmud Chacham. There are six things which are considered a gnai, unbecoming, for a Talmud Chacham. Number one, al yetze kishu mavusam lashuk. Mavusam from the word besomim. Do not enter the shuk, exit the house into the shuk, mavusam, perfumed. Number one. Number two, va'al yetze yichidi balaylo. He should not exit at all at night whilst alone. Number three, all of these will be explained by the Gemara. Number three, Va'al Yetze Bemin Olim Hamatuloim. He should not exit, leave the house, walk around with patched shoes. Number four, Va'al Yisaper Im Isha Bashuk. He should not converse with any woman in the shuk. Number five, Va'al Yesev Bechabura Shal Ami Ha'oretz. He should not recline and be involved in a Suda with ignorant people. And number six, Va'al Yikonis Ba'achreino Lebeis HaMedrash. And neither should he enter last into the Beis HaMedrash. Now, V'yesh Omrim, some add to this list of six, two further halachas that are inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham. Number one, af lo yafsia psia gaso. He should not stride wide strides. Va'al yahalech b'koyma zakufa. And neither should he walk with an erect posture, upright. So the Gemara now explains one by one. So really we mentioned the list of six with the additional two in the name of the Yesh Omrim. So the Gemara explains. Al yetze kishu mavusam rashuk. This was number one. Do not exit into the marketplace while it's perfumed. Why? Omar Rab Abba Breda Rab Chia Bar Abba. Omar Rabbi Yechanan. We're talking about b'mokoim shechashudim al mishkav zocher. We're talking about a place where suspicion will be aroused that he wants to be involved in relations with another man. Why would that be the case? Says Rashi. Shechashudim al mishkav zocher, mevasmin atzmon. They deliberately perfume themselves. Kedei sheyisavu lohem. What does the word yisavu mean from the word taiva? That's the root of that word, taiva. So they deliberately perfume themselves so that other men will have a taiva, will have an urge, a lust for them, and therefore by walking into the shuk with this type of perfume, it's unbecoming because that's what it looks like. He's trying to entice other zacharim.
When it says the word shuk, that's an umbrella term for all the time.
No, only b'mokim shechashudim. Only in that mokim, only in that particular mokim. If there is a mokim where this type of behavior is prevalent, then that's when this issa applies. We said it's not mamash an issa. It's not mamish an issa, but it's a gnai, it's inappropriate. Now, says the Gemara, there is a stipulation. Omer of Sheshes, loy omron elo bebigdoy. This was only ever said if he has besomim on his beged. What's the difference? Why beged? We'll see in a moment. Aval begufoy, but if he places perfume on his goof, then Zeya, his own sweat or perspiration, ma'avra lei, will be ma'avra, will remove it, or will cover it. Therefore, there's no problem. Says Rashi, on the next line, says the next Gemara, so if the perfume is put on his begodim, then that indeed will arouse attention. If it's on his goof, and his own natural perspiration will cover it up, says the Gemara, Omer of Papa, Vesa'aroi. What about his hair? Is hair considered like a beged? Because it's not actually the goof, or maybe we do consider it like the goof because it's attached to the goof. So the first opinion says, Vesaroi kebigdoi domi. That's like the beged, in which case it would be osa. Va'omri la, that some say that no, kegufoi domi. It's actually like the goof. So it seems to be a machoik. Says Rashi, Vesaroi kebigdoi domi. Some say the sar is like the beged, deloi shchiach be'zeya, because it's not so common to perspire in the hair. And others say, no, it's not true. It is common. Now, we can't have a machlokes, obviously, whether it is or isn't common. It either is or it isn't. So, obviously, the discussion is this amount of perspiration, is that enough to be considered common or perhaps not? Fine. So that was number one. Now we move over to the second halacha on that list. Va'al yetze yichidi balaylo. He should not roam around the streets alone at night. Why? Says the Gemara, mishum chashoda. Now that's a little bit of a vague expression because chashoda just means suspicion, chashad, but it doesn't say suspicion of what. So Rashi says, mishum chashoda, shelznus. That is the time when this type of aveira is carried out. If he's walking alone in the street, that might arouse suspicion that this is what he's up to. Now again, we have to point out again, it's obviously not something which is osa. If it was osa, number one, you wouldn't call it a gnai. You would say it's osa. And number two, why should it be limited to a Talmud Chacham only? The answer is, yes, it's not asa, and that's why we call it a gnai, and that's why it's only limited to a Talmud Chacham, meaning, clearly there's no issa essentially in walking around at night. We have to be aware two very important things. Chazal, as we know, have instituted for us in hundreds of places the concept of maris ayin. What does maris ayin mean? That when you do something which arouses suspicion, looks like you're being over an aveira, then it's osa. That's number one. Number two, essentially this concept exists min ha-Torah, not just Chazal. There's a pasuk in Parshas Matos, it says, v'hiyisem nekiyim. V'hiyisem nekiyim. One person should be pure in the way that he is perceived. There is the most incredible tshuva. I'm sure we've mentioned it in the past. The most incredible tshuva by Reb Moshe Feinstein. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein, as in all cases of shailas or tshuvas, you normally don't see what the shaila was. You just see the response. But obviously, from the shaila, you can gauge what the question was. Here, Reb Moshe makes specific reference to exactly what the shaila was, and it's quite mind-blowing. Reb Moshe Feinstein did not live that close to his yeshiva. So he needed to be driven there by car. So it's clear there that the shoyl wrote to him that you've been seen in the car going to your yeshiva after the zman of Adlokas Neiros and Erev Shabbos. And that therefore is going to cause great confusion because people think that once you light candles, that's Kabbalah Shabbos. So what's Reb Moshe Feinstein doing in a car? That's what he writes. And he gives Reb Moshe Feinstein Musa. It's quite incredible. But he thanks him firstly for his Musa. And then he says that actually, halachically, you are 1,000% wrong. Why are you 1,000% wrong? So he explains, the whole concept of V'yisem Nekim of Maris Ayin is only when you know the halacha, you just don't know the facts on the ground. So for example, if I drink coconut milk with meat, what might you think? I'm eating basar b'cholov. Your mistake is not in the halacha, you know the halacha. Basar b'cholov is asa, and you're 100% right. Your mistake is just on the facts, on the ground. You thought I was eating basar b'cholov, no, I'm just eating fruit juice, but you didn't know that. So the mistake is not in the halacha. But let me ask you a question. Imagine you thought that you're not allowed to eat oranges. There's an issur to eat oranges. That means I can't now eat oranges because Mara saying. You, for some reason, have convinced yourself there's an issur d'oraisa to eat oranges. So every time I eat an orange in front of you, it's Mara saying. Says Moshe Feinstein, no, there is no Mara saying because you're halachically incorrect. When you're halachically correct, you're just factually incorrect, that's when there's a concept of marasayin. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, in this particular case, you are halachically incorrect. When you light candles, it's nothing to do with Kabbalah Shabbos. The wives, by the way, are Makabal Shabbos when they light candles, nothing to do with the husband. Therefore, you are totally halachically incorrect, and therefore there's no basis for the Ol Chashash of marasayin. That's what he writes. So you'd think that's the end of the tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein, his great godless, writes back to him, in conclusion, however, if you do at the end of the day think that it arouses some sort of chashash as inappropriate, he says, I'm from now on makabel on myself, blineda, never to go in the car after the printed zman for halachas news. Amazing thing. Al kol ponim ve'ofen, so there definitely exists the concept of yisem nakim in our Torah, and maras ayin midrabonon. We do not make up our own maras ayins. As the Pri Chodosh famously writes in Yerideya Siman Pei Zayin, why are we allowed to drink wine? Why don't we say it should be also? Because it looks like you're drinking dam. Says the Pri Chodosh, the answer is because Chazal did not outlaw it. Why? I don't know, they didn't. So we don't go around inventing our own maris ayins. If Chazal told us it's asr, it's asr. I just got asked a shayla now, this Shabbos, about hanging out wet clothing on Shabbos. Very common question, this type of weather. So there, it's a mafurisha mishnah. Chazal said, if you hang out wet clothing, so it's maris ayin, because people will think that you washed your clothing on Shabbos. Beseder. So that's not an invented chashash, that Chazal told us specifically that there's a chashash. Under those circumstances, it's awesome. So now back to our issue. If somebody walks around in the street at night, does that arouse chashash that he's involved in znos or not? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But even if it does, I can't ask a question, oh, well, if it does, why is it not awesome? The answer is because Chazal didn't master it. Why not? I don't know. Chazal, beroiv chochmosom, understood that it's not necessary to outlaw it. And even for Talmidei Chachomim, they also never said that it's osa for them to go out at night. What did they say? That it's a ganai. It's unbecoming. So, if we want to just give a little bit of salt and pepper, I'll tell you that maybe, really, it only arouses a very far-fetched suspicion. Most people who are walking around at night are walking around for perfectly healthy reasons. So it's only a very, very far-fetched chashash. If I see you eating coconut milk with meat, that's not far-fetched. Why is that not far-fetched? Because it really does look like Basar B'Cholov. If I see somebody walking around the streets at night, it doesn't look like he's doing any issa. If I see wet clothes on Shabbos, what do I see? I see washed clothes, so I've seen the issa. I'm factually incorrect, but I see what looks like an issa. Whereas you walk around at night, it doesn't look like you're doing anything wrong. It just could, in theory, arouse suspicion. One second, where is he going to? It's a very far-fetched chashash. So maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing. Maybe that's why Chazal never outlawed it. But for a Talmud Chochem, for him it's a ginai. Because he has to be purer than pure, cleaner than clean. And therefore, even a far-fetched chashash for him is really considered inappropriate. Again, I'm just guessing, I don't know. Chazal didn't tell me why they didn't outlaw it. But either way, it is definitely not an issa, it is only a gnai, and even that is only for a Talmud Chacham. Now, the Gemara explains and makes a limitation. V'loy Omron, at the end of the second wide line, V'loy Omron, elo deloy kevia le idna. That is only true at a time when he's not been kaveya, established idna. What does idna mean? Idna is a time. Kviyas itim. Kaveya itim natera. That's only at a time when he has not been kaveya for him his learning slot. Aval kviya le idna. But if that's the time that he goes to his kviya sitim, he goes to his shir from his rebbe, meida yadia, then surely everybody will know de le idne ka'ozil, that he is merely walking to his shir. Says Rashi, deloy kviya le idne. When is there this issa or gnai that stated shaloi kovu le rabbi? His rebbe has not established for him kvius, a regular slot lelamdei balaylo, to teach him at night. But if he does, apparently everybody knows about it. Very big chiddush. Apparently, if he's walking to his rebbe's shir, then everybody knows where he's walking to. So I see this Talmud Chacham walking in the street at 10 o'clock at night. I know with absolute certainty, yes, obviously he's going to the shir that apparently everybody knows about. Chiddush. Okay, that was number two. Number three. Va'al yetzei b'min olim ha'matulaim. He must not go out, at least it's a gnai to go out, with patched shoes. Says the Gemara, Messiah lay, this would be a support for Rav Chiya ba'Abba. Why? What did Rav Chiya ba'Abba say? Tomer Rav Chiya ba'Abba, again, gnai hu l'tamud chacham sheyetzei b'min olim ha'matulaim. He also authored this phrase, and therefore the brisa that we mentioned before backs up word for word what Rav Chiya ba'Abba said. The problem is, Eini, says the Gemara, is it so? Rav Chiya ba'Abba nofik. Rav Chiya ba'Abba himself went out, literally translated, he went out. What does it mean he went out? What's the moral question? Meaning, with these very patched shoes. So it's bad enough that what he's doing is opposite of what's stated in the Braisa. But worse still is that he himself authored this statement. He himself said that a Talmud Chacham should not go out with patched shoes, and then he proceeded to do that very thing himself. How can that be? Says the Gemara, Omama Zutra, Breder of Nachman, Betaloi al gabe taloi. Patches upon patches. I'm not sure why, to be honest. But it's only if there is a double patch, one patch upon the other, that's when it's considered a gnai. Whereas Rechir Ba'aba apparently only went out with a single patch. V'loy Omron, furthermore, this was only ever said Elo Ba'panta. What's Panta?
Top.
Says Rashi, Anpunya Bala'az Sha'al Gabe Horegel, which is on top of the shoe, which is the visible part. Says the Gemara, Avol Begilda Leslombo. What's Begilda? Says Rashi, Begilda Ekev Shekoirin Sol. If the patch is on the sole of the shoe, then there's no problem. Why? Because nobody can see it. Therefore, it's not considered a Gnai. Says the Gemara, Uba Panta, and even on the Panta, which is the top part of the shoe, which is indeed visible, Loi Omron Elo Ba'urcha. It was only ever said when he is outside in public on the path, on the way, on the street. Aval Bebeisa Leslombo. But in the privacy of his own home, there's no problem because presumably won't be seen. Not only that. V'loyomron, and this whole issa was only ever said Elo b'mois hachamo, only in the summer. Avol b'mois hageshamim, but in the winter and rain season, less lombo, there's absolutely no problem. Why, says Rashi? Two words, hatit machaseu. Because in the rain season, as we see in many places in Chazal, they did not have roads like the roads that we have today. Rather, they were basically just mud paths. Yeah, Gimel, we still have them. So therefore, if you're walking around on a mud path, which in the winter is going to be sloshing around with mud, Mela what? That will cover up any patches, therefore there's no problem. Just last night, actually, I saw a little clip. My mother's here from London, and she played for me a small clip from the Siyum HaShas that took place in Manchester, the Dirush HaSiyum, a beautiful Siyum. So one of the featured speakers was Rav Nissim Kaplan. You heard of Rav Nissim Kaplan? Unfortunately, his wife just passed away. He is a son-in-law of the Gateshead Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ron Gurwitz, who's my Rosh Hashiva. His wife, Ron Gurwitz's daughter, tragically just passed away recently. So he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's a Rosh Hashiva, he's a Pesach, he's a Rav. So he gave one of the keynote speakers, one of the keynote drushes there in the Siyam. So I didn't see his whole drusha, but one of the things he said, and he said it's basically based on a moshel of the Chofetz Chaim, which he sort of adapted. And he said that there was a Jew who came up to Olam Haba. He came up to Olam Haba, and they said, right, you have to stand trial in the Bezdin Shel Ma'alom. So what have you got on the good scale? He said, I learned Daf HaYemi. So he was obviously tailing it to the Daf HaYemi Siyam. But whatever, for our purposes, I was Kaveh Itim L'Teira. Okay, put that on one side of the scale. And what do you have on the other side of the scale, the Averas? Well, I spoke Lashon Hara, and I wasn't Makbid B'Halacha, and it began piling up. And eventually they said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, the Averas tipped the balance over here. So you're going to have to end up in a very, not very pleasant place. And all of a sudden, the Malachim, who were the mitzvah Malachim, bring piles and piles of mud and slush and dirt, and they throw that onto the mitzvah side of the scale, and it outweighed the averas. They said, what's all of this about? They said, because not only did he learn, but there were occasions that he had to learn b'mesiras nefesh. He had to trudge through the mud, he had to trudge through the slush and the snow and the dirt in order not to be mevatel his kviyas. And for that itself, the mesiras nefesh for learning is itself considered a mitzvah and ultimately tipped the scale. Next in the queue was a friend of his. Same story. What have you got on the mitzvah scale? My Daf HaYomi, my Kviyas Itim. What have you got on the other side of the scale? Well, it's the averas that he's performed all his life, and the averas, in fact, also outweighed the mitzvahs. So they said, well, surely there's something you can put on my mitzvah scale. So yes, they managed to dig up his limousine. And they put his limousine on the mitzvah side of the scale, and it did not outweigh the averas. He said, one second, there's something wrong with your scales. A limousine definitely weighs more than mud and more than slush. And they said, it's true, but there's less mesiras nefesh when you drive to your kvias in a limousine. So what he's trying to bring out, the beautiful point is that to learn, when it's easy, it's easy. But as the phrase goes, it's when the going gets tough and the tough get going. Ultimately, the true acid test of how dovuk a person is to his limud Torah and to any Erev Avodas Hashem is really when you're tested. In fact, Mesiras Yesharim writes this clearly. Mesiras Yesharim says that the true test of a person is when things are difficult for him. It's easy to be a maimin, it's easy to be a mispalel, it's easy to be a limud Torah when everything is going just hunky-dory and everything is fine and dandy. When things are not so posh and things are difficult, and we've got all the reasons in the world to make excuses, and I have to slush through the mud and the dirt, and imkolze, I'm not prepared to battle my kviyas, that really is the ultimate litmus test of where my Avodas Hashem is really up to. Okay, back to our sugya. So we've so far discussed three of these ganais. We're now moving on to number four. Says the Gemara, Va'al yisaper im isha bashuk. A person should not converse with a woman in the marketplace. Omer av chista va'afilu hi ishtoi. Again, we're talking about a Talmud Chochem over here. Va'afilu hi ishtoi. Even if it's his own wife. Why? Says Rashi, She'ein hakoil makirin bo. Because not everybody knows her. And therefore they will suspect him and say, what's going on? He's talking to some strange woman in the street and they didn't realize that it's his own wife. They're just talking about marba sicha. It's not talking about particularly where it is. Marba sicha, that's about excessively being involved in conversation. It's Ali Sapper, it doesn't say anything about being marba, any conversation. Tanya Nami Hochi says the Gemara, that which Rav Chista told us seems to be explicit in a Braisa as well. Because it says, afilu hi ishtoi. It says there too in the Braisa, even if it's his own wife, afilu hi bitoi, or his own daughter, afilu hi achoisoi, or his sister. Why? Lefi she'ein hakoil bekiin bekrevoisov. Because not everybody is a baki in this person's craving. How am I to know who his daughter is, who his sister is, who his wife is for that matter? Therefore, they should not converse in the street. That's what it says. Again, we're talking about for a Talmud Chacham. There's a beautiful story with the Chofetz Chaim. The Rambam, in his Halachas, writes that there's an Issa called Chilul Hashem. It's one of the worst Issurim in the book. Chilul Hashem. Then he writes, after he gives you various examples of what would be considered a Chilul Hashem, he says there are other things which are considered to be a Chilul Hashem for a Talmud Chacham. For a Talmud Chacham. It's not the list here in Brachas, it's based on a Gemara in Yuma. Again, inappropriate behavior for a Talmud Chacham. Because again, he has to be squeaky clean, purer than pure. So the Chofetz Chaim once sent his son on a certain mission of Askonos, and he said to his son, okay, listen, you're leaving your normal, regular comfort zone, and you're going to be surrounded by all types of people, Jew and non-Jew alike. Don't forget the Rambam. Don't forget the Rambam, the extra code of behavior that you've got to be aware of in order to ensure that Chas v'Shalom, it doesn't cause any Chil Hashem. To which the son of the Chofetz Chaim turned round to his father and he said, yeah, but the Rambam says only Talmidei Chachomim. Only very, very righteous people. So the Chofetz Chaim turned round to him and simply said, of them, bist du a genug Talmud Chacham. For this matter, you're enough of a Talmud Chacham. So this is not the time to be modest. For this, you're enough of a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, if you are going to be surrounded by people who are ignorant and they look at you as a Talmud Chacham, as far as they're concerned, anybody who can read a Gemara is a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because they're ignorant. They're ignoramuses. They're amaratzim. So therefore, the definition of a Talmud Chacham is really relative. It's not so much what you are, but more how you're perceived. And if you, in their eyes, are representing the Torah, they don't know that maybe you're not the world's biggest Talmud Chacham, but they think you are. Well, therefore, you are also subject to this list of the Rambam. That's what the Chofetz Chaim was telling his son. That even if you think you're not such a big Talmud Chacham, it doesn't matter, because you're certainly going to be perceived that way. Therefore, as far as this halacha of the Rambam is concerned, you're certainly enough of a Talmud Chacham.
My friend always says, you just have to keep up.
So I actually heard this story from my friend about 10 years ago, and I was desperate to get hold of his phone number or email address, because a year or two later I found in the Masilis Yeshorim one line in the middle, black on white, this principle of my friend, where he talks about the concept of Chil Hashem, and he says a Talmud Chacham, or somebody who is perceived to be a Talmud Chacham, Furush, has these halachas. But it's true. In our day and age, like you say, if you wear a yarmulke in some circles, then you're representing the Torah. They're not going to give you a test. Tell me, what's the halacha if you have a question in Hilchos Birkas HaPeiros? Or which Birkas HaReach do you make on Shemen when you also have Hadas? What's the Seder? Do you go with Toddy or not Toddy? They're not going to ask these questions. You wear a couple, as far as I'm concerned. You wear a yarmulke, you must be a Gadol Hador. So if you have to behave appropriately. Okay, says the Gemara, fifth one now. Va'al yesev v'chabura shalam ha'aretz. A person should not be reclined in the company of amiratzim. Why? My timer, Talmud Chacham again, my timer. Dilma osi. Maybe he will come la'amshuchi. What does it mean la'amshuchi?
To be drawn.
To be drawn, mashicha. Maybe he'll become to be drawn basrayu after them. So again, it's not an issa. If it'd be a real issa, then it'd be true for everybody, and it wouldn't just be a gnai. It's a gnai for a Talmud Chacham. Va'al yikones achroina Lebeis HaMedrash. Again, why should you not come late to Beis HaMedrash? This is sixth and final one on the list. Mishum Dekoru Lei Poisheya. Because they will call him a Poisheya, negligent one. What does it mean, says Rashi? One word, Misatzel. He's lazy. The Chassam Sofer once came late to Kol Nidre. Imagine coming late to Kol Nidre. Of all the tefillahs in the world, you have to get your act together. And the kilo were waiting, it was sunset, and it was coming this man. And they're waiting for the Heilige Chassam Sofer. Waiting and waiting and waiting, and they obviously couldn't start without him. And eventually the Chassam Sofer shows up. And he apologized that I was taking care of a very busy matter, a very urgent matter. What was the urgent matter? So I was involved in arranging a shidduch for an orphan. So I asked him, why now of all times? He said, I wanted to come into Yom Kippur with a zechus. Halavai on us. You know, we need the Chassam Sofer's. He felt he needed a zechus. So they asked him, fine, that's all fine and well, but I mean, it's sunset already, so the Zman has arrived. Some Sefer says, the Zman of Yom Kippur arrives when I arrive in Shul. Bez Din Shel Malo are dependent on the Bez Din Shel Mato. When I was once in the Gros Shul, I think it was my last Pesach there. On Leil Pesach, Rav Kornfeld also came in at Mamash at the last moment, if not late, to Shul. On Leil Pesach, again, of all times. And he called me over and he said to me, you're a Rav, you need to know this. He says, I don't need to publish this in front of my whole kehillah. But the reason why I was just late now, because I was involved, literally until the last moment, up to Yom Tov, dealing with a very severe issue of Shalom Bayis. That obviously, in his opinion, warranted coming late, dedicating his time to bring about Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishti. But al koponim, generally, that's what the Gemara is teaching us, a person should not come late to Shul or Talmud Chochem, because it will arouse suspicion, or at least the name of a Poshea. So that is the sixth on the initial list. Now we added two. V'yesh oimrim, af lo yafsia psia gaso. Person shouldn't take big strides. Why? Domar mar, psia gaso, noiteles echot. Mitof kuf will take one from 500. Mimoir einof shel odom will take a one part in 500. That is 0.2% of his eyesight. My takante. So what is the takana lahadre? To return his eyesight, b'kiddusha d'beishimshi, with kiddush at night. Says Rashi, she'shoisa kois shol kiddush. If he drinks the kois of kiddush b'shabbos balayla, I have absolutely no way of explaining this. It seems very, very mysterious and mystical. But apparently drinking the kiddush on Friday night is going to restore his eyesight. By the way, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says Mufurish and Halach in Reish Ayin Aleph, that just before you begin your Kiddush on Friday night, you should just have a quick glimpse at the Friday night candles. And the Mishnah Berurah explains why. The Ramah says this, and the Mishnah Berurah explains why, because this will restore your eyesight that you lose by Psia Gasa. He says so clearly. He does, however, conclude Ve'ein Noyagim Kain. It's not the general custom. Says the Gemara, finally, Va'al Yahalech Bekoyma Zekufo. And you should not walk around with an erect posture. Doma Ma'am Ahalech Bekoyma Zekufo. If a person walks with an erect posture, how long does he walk for? Afilo Arba Amos, which is not very far. It is as if Kavayochel, he's pushing away the feet of the Shechina wide, because the world has to be filled with the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he's walking with an erect posture, as it were, trying to bring cover to himself, then what are you effectively telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That no, the world can't be filled with your covered, but rather with mine. So it is, as it were, kaviyochel, you're throwing HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of his own world. And that is the end of the sugya. Okay, an interesting sugya. Now, I'm just spotting that we didn't do one tosis at the top of the page. So we don't want to finish the perek having missed that one tosis. Hai man de moirach be'esroiga v'chavushim mavorech. If you take a quince or an esrog, you make a bracha on the smell. V'dafka kashamariach behem. That's only if indeed you do smell them. Avalim bo leachoil mehem. But if you merely eat from them, ein levorech birkas areach. But rather, ki'im, rather just birkas achil. Okay. We're going to do a quick chazara. Get your skates on. We're about 20 minutes or so. And we'll try, Be'ez Hashem, do chazara of an omad and a half. And that will then prepare us for the last daf of this perek, Be'ez Hashem, Yisbarach. So we did chazara last time until Oma Reb Zeira. Mem Gimel Omad Aleph, about a quarter of the way down at the bottom of the page. First word on the line, Iyen. Ein Yud Yud Nun. You have it? Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rabba, Rava Ba Yirmiya, Me'emosai Mevorachin Al Areach. Remember, this began the sugya of Birkas Areach. At which point, from when exactly, can you make the bracha on the reach? Mishatale Timrosi, from when the smoke rises. Remember, we explained, when the smoke rises, you haven't yet smelt it. You're about to smell it, in which the Gemara points out now. But surely he hasn't yet smelt the smell. He hasn't yet been nehene. Omalei, so he turned around and said to him, okay, but according to your reasoning, what are you suggesting? That you have to wait till you've actually smelt it, until you've benefited it? So, hamoitzi lechem in haaretz to mevareich. Why don't you ask the same question? V'ha'aloi ochal, he hasn't yet eaten. You don't make the bracha following the eating, rather prior. Elo, so what are you going to have to say? Daitoi lemechel. It's enough that his das is to go and eat it. So for the same price, ochanami, daitei laruchi. Therefore for the same price, here his das is to take a smell. Remember, we asked last time what was the havamin. I mean, we all knew that. We all knew that when you make brachas on reach, by brachas on birkas anen, and it's always before. So we discussed last time. We said yes, but it's a chiddush that you have to make a bracha on reach at all, as the Gemara on the basis is going to say. Actually, how do you know you make a bracha at all? Kol hanshama, talei l'ko. So over here, we were excused for thinking that maybe you only make a benefit when you actually can smell the smell, but not when it's just potential benefit. To which the Gemara answers, no, actually it is equitable to food, i.e. you make the bracha prior to the benefit. Omer Rav Chiya Brei de Rabba Ben Achmeni Omer Rav Chista Omer Rav Omer Ilo Omer Rav Chista Omer Ze'iri Kol HaMugmorois, all mugma, this pesomim that is burned at the end of the meal, Mevorchen Alein Boirei Atzei Besomim Chutz Mimushak. Mushak is different, and you will not make a bracha there of Boirei Atzei Besomim. So why not? Because Shemen Shemin Chayahu. Because really all it is the excrement of an animal. And therefore, you cannot possibly say Boirei Atzei Besomim. It's nothing to do with an eitz at all. And therefore, Shemavorchenov Boirei Mine Besomim. Apparently, it does at the end of the day have a pleasant fragrance, otherwise, it wouldn't be subject to this whole discussion. But you cannot make a bracha of Atzei because not an eitz.
How can you say bracha on excrement?
Because it has a pleasant fragrance.
How do we know
even if it doesn't have a fragrance, you can't like daven near it?
How do you know? Only if there's a bad smell. So yeah, only because it has a bad smell.
If it's covered, like in a clear cover.
Yeah, because again, because it has a bad smell. Something that has a bad smell is considered to be mos. Right. Therefore, you have to cover it, etc. But if not, there's nothing wrong with it. You see it or smell it.
Musk doesn't come from the skin.
What's that?
Of the animal? Or the sweat? Or
Rashi says rei. Rei is excrement.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Meisvei. So you're telling me that all mugmar is atse besemim, except for this particular one. Meisvei. Ein mevarchin bari atse besomim. El ala farsamoin, which we said is balsam, shall base Rebbe, vala farsamon shall base Kesa, vala hadas, shabachal mokim, or any hadas. But you see, essentially, on mugma you don't. We explained why, because the eights has long disappeared. Tiyufta, disproven. Omale Rav Chista Rav Yitzchok. Hai mishcha da farsamoin. What about the oil of that aforementioned balsam wood? My mevarchin elalei, what brach would you make over it when you smell it? Amalei hachiyam of Yuda boire shemen arzeinu. You make specific reference to the fact that this shemen comes from Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, okay, bar min ed Rav Yuda. We have to ignore this statement of Rav Yuda. Why? The chaviv el Eretz Yisrael, because he has apparently special affinity, special chavivus towards Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he was of the opinion it has to be mentioned also in the bracha. But lekula alma, but for everybody else, my amali alcham Rabbi Yechna boirei shemen orev. What does orev mean? Pleasant, like we said this morning. V'harev not. Omer avada ba'avo hay kishrusa. But this crushed oil, loy. For if kan omer no, afilo mishcha kevisha, mishcha tchina loy. If it's really ground, then not, because the original is completely crumbled and crushed and is no longer considered to be in existence. But Naharadoy said, no, afilo mishcha tchina, because at the end of the day, that's where it did come from, even though the eights is no longer in existence. Omarav Gidlomarav, hi, Smalek, which is Yasmin, Jasmine, Mavorachin, Alibari, Atsibasomim. Omarav Hanan, Omarav Hani, Chilfi, Dima. Mavorachin, Alibari, Atsibasomim, because it has Givoilin, has these various cloves, and that is enough to consider it an eights. Omar Mazutra, Micro. Because it says, "Vehi ha'lasam ha'gago v'tmantim v'titzmenim v'pishtei ha'eitz," and it calls them eitz. Hai narukum, this narukum, which is a rose. If it is the ganun disa, it grows in the garden of Morchan Abori atse besamim. If it is the davra, then it's a different bracha, it grows differently. Then, bayre isvei. For some of it's more of a grass rather than a tree. Omer Rav Shesh says, Hani Sigli. Violets, I think we said. Varcha library is baby summon, because it's not an eights. Omer Mazutra Haiman du Moireach be Esrego be Chavoisho. If you smell an Esrego, I quince, as we saw in Tosis just now, not just you merely eat it, you actually smell it. Omer Borach Shanosan Reach Toiv be Peirais is a special brocha for the pleasant smell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in Peirus. Omer of Yehuda, Haiman Denofik B'yem Nisan. Anybody who went out in the days of Nisan, which is the day of blossoming, V'chozi, and he saw Ilone Dekom Lavlevi, he saw trees in bloom. Oime makes a beautiful bracha, Baruch Shanoi Losan Chis Shaloi Chiser B'ilomoi Klum, Ubora B'y Briyois Toivois, V'ilonois Toivois Lesnois B'hen B'nei Adam. The one moment. Here we are discussing which bracha you make. One second, how do you make a bracha at all? Shenema kol anashama talilko haliluko. Ezehu dova shahanashama ne'enis mimenu. Which item is it that the neshama benefits from rather than the guf? Ve'ena guf ne'enimenu. Havoy mezeh areach. In the future, the Bokharim, the young ones of Klal Yisrael sheyitnu reach toiv kalavon, and they will be emitting a pleasant fragrance, just like in the Levanoin forest. Shenema yelchu yoin koisa v'hika zayis hoidoi v'reach loik levanoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has organized this world that every person enjoys and is proud of his job. Remember, we saw Rashi explains, because if not, what would happen? Then there'll be some jobs that
would not be filled.
People say, oh, I don't want to do that job. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'roiv chastoi invented people such that they're very proud of that job, and they feel you rest assured. You'd always have people to empty the garbage and clean the streets, and that way that work will always be done. That's what people say. You can hang a vegetable, clean one, around the neck of a pig, and yet he'll still do his thing. What does that mean, he'll do his thing? What will he do? He'll roll around in the dirt. Why? Because that's his way. That's his umnus. And that's what he wants to do. This is what we said before about walking alone in the street. There's chashada or mazikin. He learned there's mazikin. So if you're with a torch, it's like two. If you're reach, if it's by moonlight, it's kashloisha. So what does that mean? Iboilu. Avuka kishnaim bahadi didei. Is the avuka considered like two together with him, which means it's only one addition, it's him, one, and the avuka two altogether? Oy Dilma, no, maybe avuka kishnaim lebar bidei. Maybe the avuka is considered like two besides for him, such that he's considered altogether in the company of three. Says the Gemara, we can bring a proof. Why? Toshima. Because we did learn that the other part of this statement was that the Oreach is like three. Now, what does that mean? If you're going to tell me that what, that it includes him, then Shapir, it makes sense. The torch with him is two, the Oreach with him is three. Elo, if you tell me, so what do you really mean to say? That the torch is two besides for him, that's three. So what's the Oreach? Three besides for him, that's four. Who needs four? Arba lomali v'homa amar le'echod nire umazik l'shnaim nire ve'ene mazik v'shloishein nire kolika. We said there's three dargas. One is very dangerous. The shadim appear and do damage. Two, they appear, they don't do damage. Three, they don't appear either. What about four?
No such thing.
No such thing, nothing added. So therefore, why would the Braiser tell me if you walk with a torch, which means three, that's that. And if you walk with a Yireach, you know that's four. Who needs four? What's the mile of four? So it can't be. Elolav, it must be a Shema Minor, Avuka Kishnayim, Bahodi Didei. Therefore, clearly it's not excluding, it's including him. Shema Minor, yes, you're quite right. So therefore, what's the Braiser teaching me? That if it's with the Avuka, it's a three, two including him. With Yireach, it's three including him, but four was never discussed. It is better for a person to throw himself into the fire rather than embarrassing one's friend in public. Thank you so much. Any cold, your cold water's fine. Should be in the bottom drawer. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. Where do I learn this? Where do I learn this from? Mitomor. Shenemar, he mutzus, etc., etc. Remember, rather than embarrassing Yehuda publicly, she just hinted to him, but nobody knew. If he was going to admit, which eventually he did, so be it. And if not, she was prepared to kill herself. Ton Rabbonon, heviu lefonov shemen v'adas. Beis Shamarim Mavorchem al Hashemen, Bach Mavorch al Hadas. Ubeis Hilamir says, no, the opposite. Mavorch al Hadas, Bach Mavorch al Hashemen. Omar of Gamliel, Ani Machriya, I'm going to decide Shemen. I'm going with Beis Shammai. Why? Because Zochinu L'Reach V'Zochinu L'Sichase, because then you get double benefit, both the smell and the anointing. Whereas Hadas L'Reicha is Zochinu, but L'Sichase is Zochinu. Omar of Yechanon, you're quite right. Halacha Kedivrei Machriya, we go with Shammai, the Shemen wins. However, Rav Papa Ikle L'Bei Rav Huna Breider of Ika Aisu L'Kamayu Shemen V'Hadas. And guess what? Shokel Rav Papa Baruch Ahadas B'Reisha. V'Hoda Baruch HaShemen, and only then the Shemen, that's like Hillel. On Malay, they said to him, what's going on? L'Yisobol Omar Halacha Kedivrei Machriya. Don't you hold that the Halacha is like the Machriya, i.e. like B'Shammai, which case you should have made a bracha first on the Shemen, not the Hadas. He said, no. It's true that there were those who said the halacha is like the machriya, like Rav Gamliel Beis Shammai, but my Rabbi Rava said not that way. What did he say? Halacha is gebeis hillel. There was a whole discussion where they're supposed to read the following words, v'loihi, it is not so, l'shtamutei nafshu David, the way Rashi exposes, he just made that up in order to avoid embarrassment. Others said it can't be true. Chas v'sholem to suggest such a thing, we saw Pshat and the Marami Panu, highly controversial. Tana Rabbanon, Heviu lifneim Shemen v'yayin. Not Shemen and Hadas, which is what we discussed until now, but rather Shemen and Yayin. Beis Shamayimim Oiches Hashemen b'yaminoi. You should hold the Shemen in your right hand, v'sayayin b'smoiloi. So remember, we're seeing two halachas over here. Number one, the fact that you should hold it at all, and number two, in your right hand. Mavorich ala shemen, v'chayz mavorich ala yayin. Beisel ala imrim, no, oichez es ha-yayim v'yaminoi, v'sa shemen b'smoiloi. Why? Because mavorich ala yayin, v'chayz mavorich ala shemen. So everybody agrees that you have to hold the item you're going to make a bracha on. Everybody agrees you've got to hold it in your right hand. Everybody agrees that you should put in your right hand the item you're going to make a bracha over first. The only discussion is which one is indeed first, but whichever it is, they all agree, put that in your right hand. After that, the tochu b'roish hashemesh, hashamesh, v'im shamesh tamachachem u'tochu b'koisel. Why? As we said, because it's a gnail tamachachem, let's say it's b'shukka shumuvusim, if he's going to go out in the street with his hands smelling of this, b'samim it's a gnail. Tana rabbonon, shisha dvarim gnail le'tamachachem. Number one, al yetzei kushumuvusim l'shuk, do not go out. Perfume. Number two, al yetzi yichidi balayla. Number three, al yetzi b'minolim hamutuloim, do not go out with patched shoes. Number four, v'al yisapeirim isha bashuk, do not converse with a woman in a shuk. V'al yetzi b'chaburish l'amores, this is number five, do not be seated with a group of amyaratzim. And finally, v'al yikonis b'achroin ala b'samedrash. V'yei shomrim af lo yesfia p'sir gasa, neither should he walk wide strides, nor should he walk with an erect posture. Okay, one by one. Al yetzei kushmavusim l'shuk. Omer Abba Barid, Rav Chiba Abba Amar V'yechim Amokim Shechashudin al Mishkav Zachor. That's the reason why you shouldn't walk out b'samim, because people will suspect, perhaps, that he's involved in this type of activity. Omer Rav Sheshes L'yomrin al B'bigdoi. That's all true on the Beged, because that's recognizable and detectable. Abu Bagufay, no problem. Zeyam Avrele, any natural body perspiration will cover it up. Amar Papa Vesarek, a big dummy. Amar Lo, no, Kagufay dummy is machlekas, whether the hair is like the beged or like the guf. Va'al Yetze Yechidi Balayla, why? Mishum Chashoda, which Chashad of Znus, says Rashi. V'lo Yomren Ela Deloy Kvir Le'idna, that's only if it's true if he's got no shear. Avol Kvir Le'idna, if he's got a shear, he's got a Kvirs Itim. Then may the yodia, then everybody knows that he's going to his shin if it won't arise any chashad. Funny thing is, ain't he? Baruch Hiba Abba Nofik, he himself went out that. No, it's only a double patch, which is awesome. He went out with a single patch. That's only when it's on top of the shoe, so it's detectable. Avabla Gilda, where it's not recognizable, it's okay. Less Lombo, it's fine. Ubapanta, and even then, when you're going out publicly on the street, Avabesa, in the comfort of your own home, in the privacy of your own home, less Lombo, it's absolutely no problem at all. because the streets are clean, and therefore if you have this patch on top of your shirt, we noticeable. Why? Because as Rashi explained, there's a lot of ruach and slash, and therefore what? So Rashi says it will cover up his shoes, and therefore there's nothing to be detectable. If it's on the underside, it's anyway not a problem. But even if it's on the top, if it's in Moisag HaShomim at the time when the tit will cover up, then it's not an issue at all. Va'al yisaper nisha b'shuk amar v'chisva afilu yishto, even with his own wife. Tanin amiochi, yes, afilu yishto, afilu yibito, afilu yachoyse, why? Lafish ein akoil b'kiyin b'krevoyse, because not everybody is aware of who exactly his family members are. Va'al yis v'chabur ishlam ha'oretz, my time adil me'osi lam shuchi basrayu, because he might be drawn after them. Because he'll be considered lazy. Why not? It'll take away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. How can you get a takon to bring it back? Bekidusha de Beishimshi with the kiddush of Friday night. Apparently, that's a skula to restore eyesight. Vale halich bekoim zekufa. Why should you not walk around in erect posture? Toma ma halich bekoim zekufa filo arba amos. Even if it is for a relatively short distance of just arba amos, kilu doichuk ragle shchina. It's as if you are pushing out kaviyachol the raglaim of the shchina out of this world. The world has to be filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. And if you walk in this rather pompous, haughty way, so then really you're trying to bring honor to yourself, which detracts kaviyachol from the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's considered as if you're being doicha, the raglaim of the Shekhinah from this world. Now, if you did not enjoy that, the last 20 minutes, then... Then you don't want to enjoy that for you, because it's like every day of your life. Okay, we'll see you all on Tuesday.